Good afternoon, and welcome to Good News Updates with Living Compassion. I'm pleased to be joined this afternoon by Anna, who's here to speak with us about her experience of participating in the Seasons of Joy retreat. Welcome, Anna.
Hey, Lakota.
Hey, thanks for being with us today.
Oh, it's my absolute pleasure. Thank you.
Mine too. Gosh, this retreat just sounds like so much fun, and I know we have another session of it coming up soon, so I wonder, without maybe giving too much away, you could tell us a little bit about your experience of participating in Seasons of Joy.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it truly is fun, I can attest.
Yeah.
It's a retreat that's so kind of lifey. You get to do working meditation and care for the monastery. You get to eat beautiful, organic, seasonal food. You get to do yoga that's so kind of beautifully in sync with the rhythm of the day. So when it's time to do, you know, kind of more strenuous things, we do more strenuous things. And when it's time to really soothe the body after a day of work, we get to do that. There's individual guidance. Have I missed anything? It really is.
Wow.
Yeah, an all-around support for a human. Yeah, it's really beautiful.
Wow, yeah, all-around support for a human. As you were talking about that, just having a sense of, like, the entire being completely cared for. You've got the opportunity to participate, the joy of the participation, taking care of the surroundings, the wonderful food, the periods of it sounds like, work or effort, kind of matched by these periods of rest and yoga and meditation. Wow, complete care for a being.
And the workshops too, where we get to look at all that we've seen while we're doing all of those other things. Yeah, just so much support. It's fabulous.
Yeah, the workshops to kind of look at and process and talk about everything that you're seeing is all that stuff going on.
Yeah, and truly a really big part of that feeling cared for is all of the caring that we get to do. You know, it's kind of all hands on deck caring for the monastery, working together in Sangha, and there's just, you know, nothing like it. It truly is the best.
Yeah, as you were talking about that feeling of being cared for as you care for the monastery, it just, what was dropping in was that wonderful phrase, giving and receiving, that the two are not separate. It's the same experience. What we give is what we receive. And as we care for the monastery or care for anything, really, we're the first recipient of that care.
Yep, absolutely. And to really get to experience that for ourselves is, you know, quite extraordinary. and to do that here at the monastery, you know, in working meditation, you're given a simple task, you're shown how to do it, you get to practice being here as you do it, and you get to practice watching how you do it, right? And then you get to take that into everything that you do in life. It's an extraordinary opportunity.
Wow, yeah. You're given a simple task, you're kind of stewarded through the process of how to do it, then you have the opportunity to do it and to watch how you are as you do it and all the processes that arise. And projecting, you probably get to talk about that and see what you're seeing, talk about it in group in the workshops as well, and then to carry all of that forward into life. What a gift.
Yep, absolutely. It truly is. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. Well, are there any favorite moments of this last Seasons of Joy that stuck out for you?
Well, I just want to try and communicate this experience. It's like, so there's a whole bunch of us working together on a project, and we start in on it, and we get to see the transformation that life works through all of these forms on, say, you know, a part of the garden or a building or, you know, anything like that. And it's just this experience of, if we hadn't done that, I would never have believed that was possible. And so just to experience that process of what life can do when we're not attending to a conversation of I can't is just, I mean, the most fabulous gift. I was talking about it recently and trying to find words to put to that experience, and the best I could come up with was, it's a heart overflowing good time.
Oh my gosh. It's a heart overflowing good time. I just got a wave of goosebumps and kind of delight here in that phrase. Mm-hmm. That's amazing. It's heart overflowing good time. And then the other phrase I just wanted to reflect, because it was so beautiful, is it's amazing what can get done when there's when we're not attending to a conversation in conditioned mind about I can't. It's amazing what life can do through us when we're not attending to that.
Yep, absolutely. And it's just so concrete, isn't it, to be doing a simple task like sweeping a porch or raking a path and practice being here in that supportive conversation of, you know, just be here, relax, you're fine, you're doing fine. Can you feel a broom in the hand? Can you feel a feet on the floor? Can you feel the breath in the lungs? What can you see? What can you smell? And just over and over and over like that through a day in such a kind of with such a practical task, then, you know, we get to practice that everywhere and experience what it's like to live in that conversation of support. And also experience what it's like to live in that conversation of support and to be choosing here moment by moment and see how life then has room to drop in those things like, oh, remember the rake, or remember to pick up that. And, you know, you just feel so loved, so cared for, and
Wow. So loved, so cared for. I mean, as you were describing that experience with the broom in the hand and attending to that loving, caring conversation, I mean, it just took me right there. I could feel the broom whisking away. And wow, you know, what an amazing experience to be there, attending to that loving, joyful, caring conversation in the body, in the moment, attending to the task, not indulging any conversation and conditioned mind, that portal or aperture to life wide open. And then all these fantastic, very timely, practical kind of insights or reminders from life just dropping right in. Don't forget to put away the rake or the whatever it is. Like we're so cared for. The tiniest little thing, life is looking out for us.
Yeah, truly. And it reminds me of the Alan Watts quote that we love so much about how Zen spirituality is not thinking about God while peeling potatoes. It's peeling potatoes while we're peeling potatoes, right? Yeah. And to just be choosing here over and over again, like, can I be here for every stroke of the peeler on the potato? You know, oh, missed one, come back. And how does it feel? How does the potato feel in the hand? How does the peeler feel in the hand? Where are my feet? And to just, get to have a direct experience of what it is that we're practicing, to really practice presence with a simple task and with all that support is, transformational and the best time.
That's my experience too. Transformational and the best time. It's just a really good time. And gosh, as you were describing that, I just love that description because it so points at this practice. It's so embodied, so in the moment. Like you were saying, that wonderful Alan Watts quote, it's not thinking about God while you're peeling potatoes. It's simply to peel the potatoes, to feel the potato in the hand and the peeler and to be right there. It's such a direct experience.
Yeah, which is why we can only talk about it, huh? People have to come and experience it.
Well, yeah, I guess that's the best commercial for a retreat one could ever have, right? Because it's a night and day difference between the intellectual understanding, the conversation about the experience, and just to have it, to go there and put your feet in those shoes and to pick up the potato and peel it and have the experience.
Roll up those sleeves. And just that ingredient that I think we've mentioned, but to be practicing in that way and working to care for the monastery, doing something that feels so good for something that we love so much, I mean, it's just then beyond words, isn't it?
Talk about a win, like calling it a win-win doesn't really do it justice, does it?
Right. Yeah.
It's a win-win plus.
Yeah, and I'm just looking out the window here, and you know, talk about no words. Beautiful doesn't really cover what it's like up here at the moment. The sky is blue. The leaves are waving in a gentle breeze. I was on a little walk today, and I was accompanied by three butterflies. The
orange poppies
are bursting out. It's exuberant and alive and bright and green and beautiful. Yeah.
Yeah, wow. Everything I hear on radio shows and from everyone who's been to the monastery recently is that it's breathtakingly gorgeous right now.
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, lovely. Well, I see we're getting close to the hour. Was there anything else you'd like to add before we end?
No, just a thank you. And that's a, like, one of those thank yous to life and thank you to practice, right? It's such a fun opportunity to get to talk about the joys of working meditation, and that that particular practice support that's, you know, changed this life so much. And it's just so wonderful to get to give back a bit and talk about how much I love it as that thank you.
Wow, yeah. You're left with nothing but yes and thank you.
Yes,
well, thank you so much, Anna, for being with us tonight.
Oh, thank you. Take care. Bye-bye.
Mm-hmm. Take care. Good night. All right, Ashwini, we'll turn it over to you and Sherry.
Thanks, Lakota. It's actually being turned over to me and Jen, since Sherry and Michael are traveling today. So, Jen, welcome.
Thank you. Great to be here.
All right.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you loud and clear.
Oh, good, good. Okay. Making sure.
Yes. Shall I go to the announcement of the schedule, Jen, or did you have something to say about our beautiful Seasons of Joy retreat?
Yeah, well, the thing that I was going to say is, as Anna was speaking, I just thought, well, she's taking us through a little guided imagery, you know, just going right there to that place of being on the retreat. And I was thinking how, as she was talking, that it's so extraordinary how, you know, we joke about how all of our retreats are the same thing, right? I mean, there's only one thing to say, right? And yet it is fun how each retreat really does have a sort of its own unique place. We just finished last week of There Is Nothing Wrong With Your retreat. That has a very specific experience. And then the Seasons of Joy retreat, wow, it really, I think Anna described it really well, where it gives us that opportunity to be at the monastery, help care for the monastery, and have kind of the closest experience to what for most folks is their everyday life, where there are those, all of those elements of the schedule. And I think it's so beautiful how, one, it models for us how the balance in our lives, the potential for that balance that she was describing in the schedule, brings so much joy. And that since we're, that sort of demonstrated for us on those retreats, that there is the opportunity for folks, hopefully, to take that back and experiment with that in their own day-to-day lives.
Yes, it's life training, isn't it?
Exactly so. Yeah, so I appreciated the conversation.
Yeah, it was, and very beautifully stated about that the Alan Watts quote, right? There is a way in which practice is our life, and in retreats like this, we really get to experience how that is so.
Yes, and that was the part that I loved, the guided imagery, you know, feeling the peeler in your hand, and what does the potato feel like? And what I see in that is that, you know, whatever our lives are, however, quote, busy we are, we're all only in this moment. And so it doesn't add anything in terms of time or extra effort to pay attention to what's going on in this moment. So if what I'm doing is peeling a potato, then that's what I'm bringing all of the attention to. If I'm driving in traffic, I can feel the steering wheel in my hands. I can notice what the voices are saying. I can feel the sensations in the body. I mean, there's whatever we're doing, we're only doing this, so we might as well pay attention to it.
Yes. Be there for it.
Yeah, be there for it. Get to have it. Yep. Yeah.
Well, we seem to have lots of opportunities for that. So we have one spot left in the Transcending Fear Retreat, May 15th to the 20th in North Carolina. It's
Which
time to break free.
Go ahead. I was just going to say, it might be the only place that would rival the beauty of the monastery this time of year, right?
Yeah, exactly so. So it's time to break free of the control imposed by egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate and practice life's joy by going beyond the limits of fear. And as was just talked about, once again, Sangha has the opportunity to experience tuning to life's rhythms as we take care of our spiritual home at the Seasons of Joy Summer Retreat, May 30th through June 4th at the Zen Monastery Peace Center. This retreat will provide training in using simple physical activity to cultivate a joyful presence and expanded awareness that makes ordinary life extraordinary. Beautiful summary of that conversation.
Yeah, exactly so. Exactly so. And those dates are just exquisitely perfect. I mean, that's like the time of year you want to be at the monastery. Yeah.
If you want to deepen your recording and listening practice, we have a class for you. 2 6-week recording and listening group training sessions will start June 5th and 6th. These group calls are fun, experiential, and transformative, whether you are a new practitioner or an old-timer. And for the courageous work...
I was just going to say, we've had some amazing testimonials about recording and listening on recent Project Joy radio shows in the morning, so that's fun to hear people really experiencing the transformation of deepening their practice with that.
Mm-hmm. And we've also heard so often that if you learn the recording and you pick up the recording and listening practice, and then you go to one of these classes, and it's transformative because it offers you the framework and the tool set that recording and listening is, and so you get to experience the facets of the tool set. So that we might intuitively pick up, and then we have someone present it to us. Okay, here's what you do in this case, or here's a skill that you have been doing, and here's the handle for it. And it's just it just brings it to a deeper level of practice.
Yeah, it does, for sure. Yep.
And for the courageous work of ending self-hate and finding compassion for yourself and others, register soon for the There Is Nothing Wrong With You retreat, June 10th through the 17th at the Zen Monastery Peace Center. This foundational retreat is perfect for awareness practice beginners as well as experienced practitioners.
Indeed.
All right, Jen, are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right. First caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, my. First, this is Sarah.
Hey, Sarah.
Hey, Sarah.
Hi. Hi. It's really great to be on. I'm just a huge fan of Open Air and have listened to so many of the archives, so it's great to join them now.
To get to be one of those folks who is creating the archives now.
Exactly, exactly.
Yeah.
Paying it forward, I guess, yeah.
Yeah,
so,
exactly.
Yeah, I just came back from the There's Nothing Wrong With You retreat, which was absolutely amazing, and wanted to talk a little about what has happened since and ask a question about that.
Oh, please. Excellent. Thank you.
Great. So I thought I'd back up just a little bit to say that, you know, I really became more invested in practice and these materials with the election, because I think, like a lot of people, I was overwhelmed with the result of it. And so what I would do is listen to Sherry read The Key. She does it on YouTube, and I would play that over and over and over. So when I woke up in the morning, when I went to sleep at night, and if I was hyperventilating in between, I'd play it then. And there were a couple of messages in there that just kept, you know, I think they were trying to get through the conditioning. And, one of them was something, I'm going to butcher it probably, but it was something like, there's nothing wrong, there's only your better idea.
Yes.
And the other was something like, it's easier to want the life you have than to get the life you want.
Yes.
And yeah, I mean, I just listened enough and enough and enough that all of a sudden, I even remember where I was at this moment, but I remember thinking, what if what if you're wrong? What if you, what you think should have happened here is not what was supposed to happen? And then, you know, for, as a result of thinking about the other, like, what if, just hypothetically, what are some of the things that could happen as a result? And then, the, you know, things like doors started opening in my head, and I you know, experienced that expansiveness, I think, that I've heard about.
It's such an illustration, isn't it, of the power of acceptance, right?
Yeah.
Because it is what is, right? So the only
right, I'm not changing it.
Conversation, exactly, yeah. Exactly. And the only purpose that conversation in the head serves is to create suffering.
Right.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of suffering. So, but so the, it was really helpful, but where I ran into trouble was I couldn't seem to extend it to the rest of my life. So that I could take that, maybe because that was a situation where I had absolutely no control. You know, it was easier to apply it to that, but in areas of my life where I maybe had the illusion of control, I just, you know, I couldn't really take it in until I did this retreat. You know, and part of it, I think, was conditioning was kind of working on me. You know, beforehand, it was sort of my conditioning, I really wish I could do an impersonation of it the way Sherry does. I just love her, you know, but mine's a little bit different, and I'm going to just keep working on it. But it sounds something like, you know, go ahead, it's a lot of work, you know, but you're not going to succeed and stuff like that. And so this that idea of, like, you can have, you know, the idea of, like, trying to find out, can I want the life I had? It just sounded like a lot of work that I, conditioning was telling me I would not be successful at.
Oh, boy. That's funny. Uh-huh. And so what have you seen?
So since then, I found out, not only, this is, like, so mind-blowing to me, but not only does it, well, first off, it takes no effort to want the life you have. That's what one thing I've discovered. The more mind-blowing one for me, though, is that I actually have the life I want.
Wow.
So, and I know.
That's a stop and take it in moment, huh?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think I heard someone say it on the show before, maybe it was in Project Joy, there was this idea that, you know, conditioning is telling you that you don't have what you want.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, and so it felt like it was so strong, the conditioning, that I could really not see my life. And I feel like that character in It's a Wonderful Life, that's how this week has been. I go from one place to the next, and it's like, oh, like that's what's happening? Like all these, you know, like, so, yeah, it's really been incredible. And I mean, there's probably not time to go into the content, but things I thought would never happen in my life are happening. And it feels like, I'll just give you the one example. You know, as I get older, I've been asking people, how do you slow down your perception of time? You know, like, how does it, because it feels like things are accelerating and my life's going to be over in the blink of an eye. Like, how do I slow it down? And the closest answer, somebody said, oh, well, I've heard children, it feels longer because everything is new to them. So there's a lot of learning and there's a lot of, like, it's just saying, and that's what I've discovered over this week, is that the whole world seems so new to me that it feels as though time has slowed down. So I have to keep asking. I really, seriously, every day I'm like, it's only been how many days? Like, within the first 2.5 days, I had spoken to my mother, I've had a very difficult relationship. All of work problems that I was obsessed with just solved themselves. You know, it's just, that leads me to my question is this like just the afterglow of the retreat? Am I going to heading for a major crash, or is this just going to get better and better and better and better?
Right. Well, there's so much to underline there in what you said. And the first thing that comes up for me when you say that is probably both.
Yeah. Okay.
So, you know, so the quote, as you were talking, the quote that keeps dropping in for me is the one about don't change the world, change world.
Yes. Yes. That's exactly what it feels like, yeah.
And that's what you're describing, is that especially that place where you said you realized that you have the life that you want and that all it was is just this constant barrage that was on top of that so that you couldn't actually see that. So you couldn't actually experience that you had the life that you had. So there was nothing that needed to change on the content level, but there was a huge transformation on the process level in terms of where you're putting your attention.
Yeah.
Right? Because it sounds like what you're describing is a big shift out of the conversation with conditioned mind. And when the conversation is in the present moment, I mean, sorry, when the attention is in the present moment, which is what you're describing with that expansion of time, then it's clear, I do have the life that I want. I'm living absolutely the life that I want.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it has completely changed my interactions with people, that the response that, you know, the way in which I engage with them and the way they respond to me in turn. And I, yeah, it's like I went to sleep and woke up, you know, in a completely different life. So,
yeah,
it's amazing.
Yeah.
So thank you guys. Yeah. I mean, just, it's been very hard not to encourage people to do the retreat. I really have to, I almost need to be, restrained.
Well, and I think actually, you know, a huge majority of people who come to this retreat, there are people who someone has said, I have no words. I really have no words.
Okay, that's what I'll say.
I can't recommend it enough. Right? I can't go to the retreat.
Mm-hmm.
We're certainly open to anyone who really wants to, right? Who really wants to come on the retreat to do that work, because it's not easy, as you know.
It's not easy. Yeah.
But the thing, you know, before you asked that last question, the thing that I was going to ask you is, are you recording as you're going through this week?
I've been so much in the moment that I almost I feel like it would take me away from the moment, but I think I do need to do it so there's a record of where I was in case and when I, you know, slip back into condition.
Exactly. And that, you know, it's sort of like I'm not sure quite what the image is, but in the same way that you realize that it doesn't take any effort, actually. You were being told it was going to be this big effort, and you realized it wasn't an effort. You might look at that recorder as just a really good buddy that, I mean, you're lit up, right? What you're describing is, it's amazing. And it's just this really good friend that you get to share all of that with. Oh, my gosh, this is happening, and that's happening. Almost like calling in a radio show.
Right?
And as when you call into the radio show, there are however many people out there listening to the show right now and who are going to tune into the archives who are going to benefit so much from what you're saying. And in that recorder, you're going to benefit from what you're saying, not only in the moment, but when you go back and listen. Because, again, what you're describing is a huge level of clarity. And will that get covered over? It's extremely likely it will get covered over. And the campaign that, in my experience, will start is, well, that's over, you know, and oh, well, you know, that was nice when you had it.
Yeah.
Right? And all
nothing
is lost
last.
Now.
Yeah.
But
it's
the second part of your question, or is it going to get better and better? And that's why that part is also yes. Yes, it is going to get better and better. As long as we know that it isn't that linear, straight line, you know, I always get what I want kind of a thing that conditioned mind will try to turn it into, right? If we realize this is a magnificent journey of waking up and being able to be present in every moment of our lives, that's absolutely possible. And the campaign to keep you from it will be gigantic.
Yeah, I did sign up for the recording and listening class. So, look forward to that when that gets started. So. Yeah.
Excellent.
Well, thank you guys so much. I want to leave time for everybody else. So,
thank you, Sarah.
Hope to
so
see you.
So glad
again.
To hear back from you. It's really fun to hear how people are doing after retreat. So thanks for calling in.
Yeah. Okay. Take care.
Take good care. Good night.
Thanks, Sarah.
Bye, sweetie. Bye-bye.
Bye. Oh, that is just so inspiring to hear. And what a profound question.
Really?
Yeah.
Truly.
Yeah.
And so good that we ask it, right? Because otherwise it's just, oh, this is so great from now on, right? And then we get blindsided.
Yeah. It's the Alan Watts that when we are in that place of bliss, we are conditioned to believe that it's the content that made us blissful, not that we dropped whatever it was that prevents us from being in bliss and then dropping into the process of bliss.
Yes, that's so true. The other one that just dropped in as you were saying that is, I think, the Buddha, who said, you know, when we're suffering, it's good to remember that it's possible not to suffer. And when we're not suffering, it's good to remember that it's possible to suffer.
Yes.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, well, here's our next caller, Jen.
Okay. Great.
Caller, now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, it's Catherine from St. Louis.
Hey, Catherine.
Hey, Catherine.
Hi. Boy, the previous conversation really helped. I have been, this is interesting, because I've been kind of spinning around in a decision, a decision about whether to retire or not. And we've just been in a conversation about that. And what was dropping in when I was listening to the previous conversation, and also, actually, I think I'm getting a hint or two from life in this direction, that there's not a lot of compassion.
That's a big hint.
Going on, yeah. And that I really... That's very challenging. So compassion for myself is very challenging. I'm sure it is. I mean, we're conditioned not to do that. Today, I was looking at this question of retirement, and I went to meditate. And as I was sitting, you know, getting ready to begin the sit, it dropped in, go outside, sit on the patio, and bask in the energy of the trees. I don't know where this came from, but it really felt like this is something for me, this is something I really need to do, and it sounded like a great thing to do, and I didn't do it. I was just thinking about this like an hour ago. Oh, you didn't do that. Now, it's not too late. The day isn't over. But and there are other things that I'm getting little messages, kind of like suggestions from life around taking care of myself. I'm how that's not happening, you know.
Mm-hmm.
How there could be, life isn't saying you're not taking care of yourself. It's more, how about this? And then I see that I don't do that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Boy, and it just seems, if I'm tracking what you're saying, Catherine, it's so critical that at whatever point we wake up to the lack of compassion, that what meets that is compassion.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean by that?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Like, so in other words, so it dropped in to go outside and bask in the energy of the trees, and that sounds like it really spoke to you on some level. And then when you realize hours later that hasn't happened, instead of the way you described it, it came in as a you, but if you didn't do that. Right, which is almost, it's a huge clue that it's very likely some form of self-hate coming
yeah.
to point out how you didn't do that, right? But
right.
if what we do is we realize, right, okay, that's right, compassion. That's my focus right now, right? And in that moment, that if we receive it in that way, that is the compassion. In other words, we don't have to try to, okay, now what would be compassionate and, right, because that's going to get us into a conversation. But just dropping into the moment, into the compassion, out of any conversation, that is the compassion.
Okay. You know, I'm used to thinking of compassion as compassion feels a certain way, and the words of compassion are certain words. Did that make any sense at all? Like, compassion looks a certain way and sounds a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems to me like what you're saying is it is what is there to meet the the human, is there, it's what's there to meet the suffering?
Human. Exactly so. But it's, you know, what just dropped in, Catherine, and I don't know, I'll have to play with this myself and see too, but that it's the presence, right? That's the overarching thing that we're always practicing. It's
yeah.
And when we're present, the thing that's needed is there. And so it sounds like in this situation where this person we call Catherine is being thrown back and forth in these two sides of this duality, and should she do this and should she do that, there's not a lot of compassion. And so coming to the present moment, which we can guess every time you realize, oh, you know, there isn't a lot of compassion here. That's coming from you having come to the present moment. That's a present moment awareness.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then, you know, the piece, it's interesting because you said a sentence a few minutes ago that it's really difficult. And where I thought you were going to end that sentence was, it's really difficult for this human to be in the middle of this decision without compassion. But where it went was, it's really difficult to give this human compassion.
Yeah.
And so I wonder if just that might be a clue in terms of how conditioning is pulling you back off. So you come to the present moment, you realize, wow, gosh, there's compassion missing here. And in that very realization, which, you know, the fact that emotion comes up is a big clue, I would project there's compassion. And then immediately starts the story of, and it's really hard for me to give her compassion.
Oh, Yeah.
So the attention is in the present moment. It's with compassion. She's receiving compassion. And then we get bumped off by that story.
Yeah. Yeah, I can see that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I can totally see that. I'm thinking that it's dropping in. I'd like to have my own little mini "There Is Nothing Wrong With You" retreat. And sign up for one too. Also,
oh,
you know, sign up for the retreat and have my own.
Yes.
Here.
We could live in a "There Is Nothing Wrong With You" retreat, right?
Yeah.
That reminder, moment by moment by moment by moment.
Yeah.
And you know, that might be a fun recording to make, right? Because as you're going, you know that intellectually, you've been practicing long enough to not only know that intellectually, but to have had many, many, many experiences of that. There is nothing wrong. There's nothing wrong. There's nothing wrong. Right? So a recording around, let's look at this together. You know, this is an adventure. I mean, potentially a whole new chapter in your life. Let's talk about it. And I just want you to know, as we go through it, there's nothing wrong. There's no decision we could make here that would be wrong. There's no such thing as a mistake. There's nothing wrong. Did I mention
that?
I mean, just over and over and over.
That's great. That's exactly what I wanted to hear. Yes, and I can make that recording.
Yeah,
absolutely.
You know, and it also speaks to the two-handed recording that we talk about a lot these days. Because
yeah.
We do know what we want to hear, right? And it does take sometimes calling into the radio show or, you know, reaching out to our Zen Awareness Coach or whatever to actually take it in, to hear it. And the two-handed recording is another way to do that, you know, to just sit down and check in with life, check in with the mentor. Hey, here's what I need.
Yeah, yeah. Sometimes what I was kind of experiencing today was having some trouble getting in touch with a mentor. So I made a couple of attempts at two-handed recording. And also, you know, even as I say this, probably wouldn't hurt to listen to those recordings again because the mentor might have been there and I couldn't take it in, you know.
Yeah.
It was just, it really felt... I really felt like I was in a box and I was trying to get out and couldn't. And
Yep.
But
and it occurred to you to call into the radio show and there was the will to do that. I mean, you know, because when we're committed to the process of transformation, we're unstoppable. you know, it'll throw things in our path and we'll stumble, but it's not going to stop us.
Right. Okay, well, thank you so much.
Oh, thank you, Catherine. Take care.
Thank you.
Good night.
Good night.
Thanks, Catherine. I love what you said, Jen, that every experience is met with compassion. Whatever the experience is, it really is all that we're practicing.
Yeah, yeah, truly. I mean, it feels so much like, but you know, I mean, in this context, what really, what's the right answer? What, like, truly? Well, really, it's all a workshop to bring compassion to, quote, bigger and bigger things.
Yes. Yes. Well, I was going to play one of the various ads we have, and it is not working, so I'm just going to bring on our next caller.
Sounds good for me.
Well, I can be the ad, right? Zen Awareness Coaching is a wonderful one-on-one accountability option for your awareness practice. Get an RL trainer and simply celebrate.
Well, see, three in one.
Three in one.
And if it had, quote, worked, we would have only gotten one. No?
That's true. Life's abundant.
Exactly.
And Jen, I just wanted to say that we had invited some folks to call into the show, and I could see them in the queue, but I'm not sure whether they actually want to be called on. So if they want to put themselves in the queue and make the indication that they're ready to get on the show, I think that would be good.
Oh, so they need to press star 6 and 1 just so you know they didn't change their mind about wanting to be live on the show. So they need to actually
exactly
do that.
Thanks, Jen, for clarifying that. Well, here's our next caller, regardless. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Lisa from Philadelphia.
Hey, Lisa.
Hi, everyone. Didn't know if I would be on, so I was a little startled. But what I wanted to talk about was a lot of gratitude for practice, and I guess a content event that has me just. So my mother passed away on Sunday, and my relationship with her for my whole life was very difficult, and might have even been one of the main reasons that I sought out spiritual practice in the first place, and this practice in the first place. And within the last couple of years, she was suffering pretty horribly from, I guess, a form of dementia. And I don't know, I just feel like I just wanted to express my gratitude for this practice because I'm in a place now, and even in the last couple of years, where there could have been a lot of suffering, there could have been a lot of messages from conditioning about what anything means ever, you know, at all times.
Mm-hmm.
And and instead, like, I've had the opportunity to experience my relationship with her and her, even her death, in a way that, you know, 20 years ago I wouldn't have thought was possible, you know, or even as a younger girl, I wouldn't have thought was possible, to the place where I am today, where there's just compassion, and for myself, for her, for our relationship, like the fact that I had that opportunity to experience whatever it was without the garbage that conditioning layers on top of whatever was there. I just find that to be just the most amazing gift in the world, you know, like that I can think of.
You know, and articulated so well, Lisa, that really all of the suffering exists in the meaning that gets overlaid on it.
Right.
So the actual, with practice, there's the ability to just be present to whatever it is. And
right.
It, you know, it might be even painful, and there might be things that we wouldn't quote choose. But even that, really, in a way, we can't even say that, because without any kind of story, without any kind of meaning, there's just what is, and we're just here with it, which, you know, is that definition of compassion, being with.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, and I mean, it's just, it's kind of, it's very, I don't know the word for it, overwhelming a bit just to think about the way, like, I'm not going to say this well because this is definitely my first draft of any of these thoughts, but
very good.
That, just like, you know, the opportunity, this is going to sound so bizarre, but the opportunity to have the relationship that I had with her, which in my early years was horrible. I mean, it was physically abusive. It was verbally abusive. It was everything, right? To have the opportunity to watch that unfold, to get away from her, to decide, like, who do I want to be? To decide, like, okay, what am I going to do with that experience? Like, what will I do with the anger that I feel, with the resentment that I feel, with the pain that I feel? And to be able, through spiritual practice, to release myself and honestly release her from all of that pain. Like, I can't explain it. So, I mean, the last year I remember talking with Sherry about what to do, because my visits upset her. You know, she was so upset by seeing people, like she couldn't really relate to people, and making the conscious decision to not go see her, but to, from afar, send her positive feelings, you know, just positive compassion, like just to send that to her and to find ways to do that when, you know, I don't have a lot of happy memories. I only have like maybe like three, you know, but like to find some way to do that was such a gift. Like, I feel like for her, for me, for everyone in the world, like, I know, I don't mean to say that in a big way, but I think you know what I mean. Like, mm-hmm. like not contributing to anyone's pain, but perhaps even like freeing both of us from it, and maybe anyone else. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't know if I'm being articulate about it. But
you know, as I listen to you, Lisa, I just get such a sense of the expression of ending karma.
Yeah. Yes.
You know, and the challenge that is. You know, the challenge that is, and the gratitude that I project you're expressing for, how did I get, I mean, that's as far as I can go, the biggest endeavor a human being can take on is to
right.
end karma in that way that you're describing, and to have been given the gift of the information, the willingness, the tenacity, the courage, I mean, all, we could go on, all the things that were required to line up to bring you to that place. It's extraordinary.
Yeah, and I mean, yes, and to let go of, like, even, it's, I'm not letting go of it because she's, you know, passed on from this world. Like, I let go of it a while ago. Like,
right.
To have had that experience, not because she died, but because I willingly let it go and saw why I had to, you know what I mean? And saw that had to happen. You know, that's only possible with this practice. It's absolutely, no one would have ever told me, thought I could do it, told me to do it, thought it was a good idea. You know, I mean,
right.
You know?
Oh, I do. I mean, yes, it's a lot of diligent practice and a lot of, I would guess, support from Sangha. And just kind of commitment to your own practice, and I mean, all of it. Yeah.
So I just—that's really. I don't have much more than that, but
that seems like enough.
Biggest thing, yeah. but you know, it just
yeah. Well, and such a time to as you say, to be in that gratitude and to be in such, which I know you are, it sounds like, such good care of Lisa and, you know, just acknowledging her deep, deep practice.
Yeah, yeah. And just, you know, I just really do feel so moved to say that I just feel so grateful for Sangha and for the practice and the monks and just everybody. You know, I think if we went back in the archives, I mean, I've been talking about my mom since the first retreat. it is a big piece of karma. I mean, that is what it has been, you know, but it's just, I don't know, just overwhelming gratitude. So just thank you all so much. Thank you.
Well, thank you for adding this part to the record. It's really inspiring.
Okay. Well, have a good night. Thank you.
Thank you, Lisa. Good night.
Thank you, Lisa. Such a way of transformation. And
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. For all those warriors and for that heart-opening place of freedom that that Lisa was pointing at.
Yeah, and then it's all part of it, you know? I mean, she, you know, joking about from the very first retreat, I've been looking at this. And it's just, that's just part of the deal, you know? It just takes as long as it takes. Yeah.
All right, here's our next caller, Jen. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Matthew from New Jersey. How are you?
Well, hello, Matthew.
It's great to hear your voices today. I'm really excited to be on. I wasn't sure if I was going to get on, so this is pretty awesome. And I wanted to start out by just saying what an awesome experience and such a transformative experience the There Is Nothing Wrong With You retreat was for me and for, it seemed like, a lot of the other retreatants. And I'm just so grateful for that experience and for everything that Sangha has to offer for that. So that was really incredible.
Amen.
Yeah. And so I think, well, I actually wanted to mention about Sarah's comment earlier about time. And I think it's so amazing how she put that, because it kind of runs exactly in line with how I've been feeling lately as well, that the more present I am, how time is slowing down, and it's in the sense of just being present and seeing everything that's going on around you, as opposed to being up in conditioned mind and missing the entire experience. And in a matter of minutes, you know, it's just the moment is gone because of how conditioning can just wrap you up and steal you away from life. And how much more clear and vibrant everything is the more present that you are. And I just, it's just been such a great experience since I've been back from retreat. And I really can't wait for the next one. So I'm beyond excited about that. So I think where I want to touch on for today is I've been doing my recording and listening, and I realize now through listening in this call that I definitely need to sign up for the recording and listening practice. And I think my question is really just, is it possible, and I think this is coming from an intellectual side, but is it possible in reassurances with recording and listening to go into a sense of denial about your life, I guess, in reassuring yourself in something that might not necessarily be true? And I also recognize that there, in me bringing this up, this is a voice that's telling me something like this. So I'm not necessarily listening to it, but I'm just curious about that question and what your thoughts are on that.
So first of all, that's a great catch. That, in other words, it sounds like what you're saying is you realize that to some extent, the question is generated because there's a voice in your head that might be saying something along the lines of, you know, you might just be in denial here about your life.
Exactly.
About what's actually
exactly.
Yes. And so tell me, Matthew, what's your experience? Like, do you have an example of where you feel like that might be happening?
I would say one example I can give is, sometimes I get the voice of self-hate that says, you're lazy, you know, you could have gotten so much more done today, you could have done this, you could have mm-hmm. done that, da-da-da-da-da. Mm-hmm. And I think in one of my recordings, it was, you're not lazy. And I feel like that can be like a tricky kind of thing there. So I'm unsure. And deep down inside, you know, coming from a compassionate, open-hearted, you know, awareness side, I don't feel like I'm lazy, and I know I'm not lazy. And I'm trapped in the world of conditioning, I can appear to be lazy because I'm not fully present and in the moment and with my energy being put towards things that need to get done. So,
I act in ways that a bunch of people in the conditioned world would all get together and agree and point to and say, that's lazy behavior.
Mm-hmm.
That kind
exactly.
of thing, right? Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, I love it. It's such a great question. So I'll just tell you what comes up for me, and you can kind of look to see. So the voice says, you're lazy, and then I want to say, no, I'm not. I'm not, you know, you're not lazy. That can kind of have that feeling of being on the playground, right? You're lazy, no, I'm
mm-hmm.
not.
mm-hmm.
And isn't terribly, doesn't always end up feeling terribly reassuring, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what I went to is, when I was listening to you, is you said, you know, but I realize I'm not lazy. I don't see myself that way. I know what's
mm-hmm.
actually true is that's not so. So what I like to do in those situations is go to what is so? Because in the sort of life conversation, if you will, lazy is not part of the conversation ever. We're not ever talking about lazy or not lazy in the life conversation, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if a reassurance might not say something like, you're not lazy. It might say something like, gosh, look at how much you're participating. I mean, watching you on that retreat was so transformative, and and that you want to go to your next retreat, gosh, that's amazing. So in other words, might the reassurance be something more like assisting Matthew to get to see himself how he actually is from that life perspective versus combating what conditioning says about him?
I see. And that's a really great point, and I think that lands really deeply for me, how there's, in that conversation of whether I am lazy or not lazy, it's a dualistic conversation, and it's a back and forth, I guess, and so just totally getting out of that conversation and just talking about what my actual experiences of myself removes me from whether I am lazy or whether I'm not lazy, and just goes into what my actual experience is in my presence.
Exactly so. Really well stated. Right? Because then the reassurance comes up on my thing, well, you're not lazy. And then I think, well, but what about that time when such and such and such and such?
Exactly.
Whereas if on the recording it says, gosh, I just love how you love to participate. Then as I'm listening to that, even if what's happening as I'm listening to that is I'm sitting on the couch because I'm so beaten down by the voices, what's going to happen is that's going to build my energy back up. And then I'm going to get up and I'm going to participate in life, not because I should, but because I want to and it's who I am.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so I have an answer for, you know, the lazy negative
mm-hmm.
voice. But now, going a step further with anything, I guess, that's being told to you, you're saying that you can apply that same
exactly that same process,
reassurance.
You know, what do I actually know about Matthew? When I step back in that disidentified way and I look at him, what do I actually know is true about him?
Right.
Right, because you do know.
Okay.
I mean, we all know, and I think that's one of the beautiful gifts of the There's Nothing Wrong With You retreat is people do tend to be able to have that step back, disidentified space, and see that amazing human who has always been that amazing human. It's like Sarah was saying, she's always been perfect. Mm-hmm. She's always had the life that she wanted. It's just we never get to
right.
see that clear picture. Yeah.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. And that is another great point, too, for myself, and I'm sure for everyone who is going through that same experience, that full presence not only slows the time down, but it just gives you the opportunity to see how great your life really is, as opposed
yeah.
to staying up in the conditioned world of, I wish I would have this, or could have done this, or would have bought this, or done this, or da 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 da.
So,
wow, that's really
yeah.
great. Well, I just want to say thank you again so much, Jen and Ashwini and Scott and Chris and to Sherry and Sangha for such a really, really transformative experience and so supportive and loving. And for anyone who has not been on the There's Nothing Wrong With You retreat, I highly recommend it for anyone, stepping their feet into practice. And that
mm-hmm.
was really amazing. So thank you.
Yeah. Well, I know we're all, I know I am, and I bet everyone else is making a deep gesho in return. So thank you so much for calling in, Matthew.
Me too.
Take,
thank you.
Take really good care. Okay.
You too.
Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Matthew.
Bye-bye.
Take care. Good evening. That was just such a brilliant practice conversation, Jen, that place of not to make recordings that combat what conditioning says, because it tends to be in the same playing field as conditioned
mm-hmm.
mind, which is dualistic. But to step
yeah.
from center and see that person from a place of compassion and know what is true, because it's a life lens of appreciation as opposed to an ego lens of judgment. And the heart
yeah.
knows that place and knows the difference.
That playing field image that you just used is so helpful too, isn't it? Because I just saw that when we realize that's what's going on, it's almost like, the mentor can say to us, you know what, let's get off ego's court, shall we? Let's go play on life's
mm-hmm.
court, Let's go play in that field beyond right and wrong that I think, is it Rumi who talks about that? Yeah,
mm-hmm.
just that big, open, expansive place where we revel in what's so instead of trying to combat what conditioning says to us.
Yes, it's what you said to Catherine. Everything is met with a compassionate response, and what
yeah.
Sherry says about living in the conversation of encouragement.
Yes, yes, exactly, exactly. Yeah.
Well, I think we have time for one more caller, or even two. Let's
okay.
see. Our next caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hey, this is Laura.
Hey, Laura.
Hey, Laura.
Hey.
Oh, it's so fun to be on.
Yay.
I'm sitting back here relaxing and enjoying the conversations. They've been very, inspiring is the word that drops in.
Yeah. So fun.
So it's kind of like a There's Nothing Wrong With You recap, because I just got back from that same retreat. And, wow, talk about...
Like a little reunion for us here on this, right?
The interesting process that I found myself in was, I can remember one of you brilliant facilitators somehow mentioned kind of during the retreat that one of the pushbacks of conditioning can be fatigue. And that so hit me on Sunday. It's like I could have slept all day. And and I found myself like, I took a little nap. And then I woke up and I could hear, right, conditioning. I woke up into it of just pull the covers back up, right, keep sleeping. And there was this place of, but is that really kind? Yeah, and so I got up and so the other side of the duality for that is, well, you should go for a run.
Exactly.
And And it was the most, I mean, it was really interesting to watch. And so I did kind of that middle path as I consciously chose to go outside. It was a little drizzly down in our area, and take the dog for a walk and just be outside. And wouldn't you know it? So I was out there for about an hour, and the energy just completely changed. And by the end of the walk, I had actually a ton of energy.
Wow. That is such a fun illustration of practice right there. Wow.
Because
there's that
really
process,
powerful.
Right? I mean, I don't know this, but what popped in when you were saying, you know, that one of the ways resistance can show up is in sleepiness, I thought, you know, especially in someone who has a long-standing practice, because almost anything the voices throw at a practitioner who has a lot of practice under her belt is going to be trouble, because it's like Catherine. It, sooner or later, it's going to get turned into transformation. But here's what we can do. Take her out. Just take her out, right?
Mm-hmm.
So put her to sleep. And I just love that place of, I mean, I just project each so much inquiry all the way along, right? So really tired. Okay, let me take a little nap. And then let me check in. And then I hear a message that says, you know, just pull the covers back up over your head. Okay, well, all right. Is that kind? You know, is that what I actually want to do? And it sounds like, on some level, there was an intuitive sense of, no, it's not actually what's going to take care of me. Then conditioning, I project, sees that and is like, okay, take a different tack. All right. Yeah. No, it's not going to take care of you. You need to go for a run, right?
Yes.
Go completely the other side of the duality, but you're right there. So you catch it. And so it drops in. How about we just go for a walk? And you do that. In that process, the energy is yours again.
It was pretty amazing watching, and I've been looking at this thing around energy for a while, like tired, fatigue, like what is that, right? What's this? And so every time I get an experience of that, it's so helpful to be able to like record about that, have the experience, but then to be able to file it, like, oh yeah, right. Any story about energy is a lie. A story about energy is very different than listening to the body.
Yes, right. Yes, the story about energy is so different from just being present to the energy in the body, and that's such a perfect place for recording, isn't it? Because if we don't really sort of mark that awareness, how long is that available to us? Not too long, right? And then we get talked right back into one of the sides of duality, and off we go. But I just love that place of once we have that experience and we underline it for ourselves, now we have it. And then we have it again, and we have it again, and we have it again until that story can no longer get us. Well, and I, you know, this clearly isn't the first time you've had that awareness, because that ability to stay that present that you're describing and to catch it on both sides of the duality really illustrates a very fine calibration to paying attention.
Well, I just know that it felt good to be present so that I could have my life experience rather than conditioning deciding my life experience.
Yes. Oh, exactly so. You get to have your life experience instead of conditioning, you know, telling you what it is. Oh, you're tired.
Yeah.
You got to sleep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. So thank you so much, all of you.
Thank you, Laura. It really does take us all. And it is so fun for people to have that willingness after retreat to call in and talk about, you know, what happens afterwards, because all kinds of things are going to happen, have happened, will happen. And in a way, together, in that same way that you just talked about, you know, you have that experience and it's now part of the sort of archives for you, you know, in that place that we talk about insight needs experience, as each person calls in after the retreat, they're adding literally to the archive of all of our experience of, you know what? So when we start to get bamboozled by something, someone talked about that on the radio show, I remember. So even if I haven't had that experience yet, there's a way in which now your experience is part of my archive. That's so helpful.
Oh, that's beautiful. Yeah, that's really, yeah, that we're all contributing to, right, ending suffering for all of us.
Exactly. Exactly. And how much, you know, it's funny because words like efficient and that it is to do it together because there's so much experience for us to call on. Yeah. Yeah. So thanks for calling in and adding your piece.
Excellent. Thank you. Thanks both for showing up there and being there to listen.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks, Laura.
Thanks, Laura.
Oh, just such jewels of wisdom to listen to a story about, to entertain any conversation about energy rather than listening to the body is a lie.
The lie.
I think I didn't rephrase it the way Laura did, but it's so true that if we really want to experience what is true, we drop into the body, and then the body tells us, and then the life force comes back to us.
Yeah, and that then we truly can, you know, then we might tune in and realize, oh, you know what, I am tired, or, you know, I think I might be coming down with something, or I need to use the restroom. That came up in... wrote recently, I can't remember what it was, but just that place of, you know, when we tune in, our experience might be anything, right? And that's completely all right, and we're then there to support the body, to support the human, to, you know, I mean, we talked about it in every conversation tonight, really.
Yes. To meet every moment with compassion, and that brings us to the end of another radio show. Thank you, Jen. Thank you, everybody.
Cool. Thank you, Ashwini.
Take care.
Take care. Okay, bye-bye. Good night.